Today's daf in Kedushin is Pei Beis. Final daf in the Masechta. Mazel Tov to the Masaimei HaMasechta, Masaimei Seder Noshim. As we just discussed before we hit the record button, we are more than halfway through Shas. So Shas is made up of 2,711 pages. Dapim, really, it's two sides. And so we are over 1,400, I should say, into the daf. Anyway, we left off yesterday in Pei Alfam and Beis. We are discussing various harchakas that were made both by the Torah and by the Chachamim in terms of making sure that we don't violate any Isuri Arayos. So this came up in the Mishnah yesterday. The Mishnah back on Pei Alfam and Beis told us that there's an Isur of Yichud. A man cannot seclude himself with a woman. We have the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardwired us is that we have a Yetzahara, and our Yetzahara obviously is going to be put in a position where the Yetzahara will take advantage of the position of a situation, and we will succumb to the Yetzahara. Various Tanaim, as we saw over the course of yesterday, I'll say Kipshuta because that's the way the Gemara said it. They ridicule the Yetzahara. It's not so tough. It's not so bad. And the Yetzahara, with all these Tanaim, said, "I'll show you." And the Yetzahara did in fact show them that it's not as easy as it looks. And I think we just are all familiar with this. We're all aware this is kind of Gemara that's intuitive. And we left off yesterday with a Maisa. Another Maisa that the Gemara discussed was regarding a various an Amora who when he got to the point of Nepilas Apayim, so it was his name, Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi. Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi got to the point of Nepilas Apayim where he tachanun right after Shmoneh Esrei, and he would say, Harachaman Yatzileni Mi Yetzahara, Kadosh Baruch Hu should protect me from my Yetzahara. His wife overheard him. His wife said, "That's interesting. I know that he and I have not been intimate some time." Gemara gives us obviously a lot of intimate details regarding this relationship. Him and I have not been intimate in some time. I don't know what he's talking about. So she puts him to the test. She dresses up like a Zona. She goes to her husband. She says she says that she's a particular Zona. He is Mizana with her, thinking that it's a Zona, but meanwhile it's his wife. She doesn't at the time tell him. At a later point in time, she does tell him, "That wasn't a Zona. That was me." He was stricken with grief, with guilt. He felt terrible, and he died in fasting. That's the point we ended yesterday. I know it's not a lot, and I know it's not an uplifting point, but that's where we left it yesterday. And the Hayamatana Ad Shemes. So he would fast until he died, but also Misa until that very death. We are on Pei Aleph Amud Beis. We are a little less than halfway down in the Amud. The first words in the line are Ba Oso Misa. And let us continue right where we left off yesterday. Did Tanya. We learned in A Brisa. Isha Faram Hashem Yislach La. The husband is going to be made for the neder, and she will receive a slicha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Ma Kosev Medaber Beisha She Nadra Ben Nazir. So the Gemara says we're talking about the following circumstance, meaning basically there's a built-in question to the pasuk. If the husband was made for the neder, she doesn't need a slicha. There is no neder. She didn't violate the neder. Why would the Torah be describing some sort of slicha? And this is what the Gemara is explaining. And the Gemara goes on to explain that Vishama Bala Vehefila. So the woman made a neder that she was going to be a Nazira, and the husband hears, and the husband says, "I want nothing doing with this." And the husband was made for the neder; he annulled his wife's vow. Vihila Yadasha Hefila Bala, and she didn't know this. In other words, he doesn't have to inform her. It'd be nice if he informed her, but he doesn't have to. Vaisa Shosi Anamatam La Mason, and she did all the things to violate her neder at the time she thought she was violating her neder, and now turns out later that she wasn't violating her neder because there wasn't a neder, and that's exactly the point. Meaning, Vashem Yislach La, the slicha is not because she actually violated an avera, but because she thought she violated an avera. Right, there was intent on violating an avera, much like the Amora had intent on being with a Zona, even though that's not actually what happened, but that's exactly the point. You still need a slicha. Rabbi Akiva Kavamatalai Psuka Havabachim. Rabbi Akiva arrived at the Pasuk and he would cry, Amar. And Rabbi Akiva said, let us construct the following argument. Uma, Mishin is coming lecho basar chazer ve'ala biyado basar tleh. Amar Torah tzricha kaparu slicha. Somebody was intent on eating treif, and by accident he ate kosher, and that person who actually didn't violate an avera, but was intent on violating an avera, and that person needs slicha. Mishin is kam lecho basar chazer ve'ala biyado basar chazer. Now somebody who was actually successful in not only intent on eating treif, but actually ate treif, al achas kama v'chama. How much more so should that person require a slicha v'kapara? Kayotze b'davar ta'omer. The Gemara gives another example. V'lo yadav ashem v'nasa avano kishahaya Rabbi Akiva magila pasuk zeh hayabocha. Once again, another pasuk at the end of Parshas Vayikra, where when Rabbi Akiva arrived at the pasuk, so he started crying. Ma mishnas kavin lechol shaman v'alo biyado chelev amra Torah v'lo yadav v'ashem v'nasa avano. We're talking about a regular show gig, a person who was not intent on eating chelev, and it just happened to be inadvertently he ate chelev, and yet the Torah says he's guilty. And Rabbi Akiva says he's guilty. Can you imagine? Mishin is kam lechol chelav ala biyado chelav. Somebody was intent on eating chelav, actually chelav al achas kama v'chama. How much more so that person has to requires a kapara. Izi ben Yehuda amar v'lo yadav v'ashem v'nasav v'no al davizeh yidavu kol hadivuyim. So the Gemara ends off with one final comment on this point, and that is, there is a sin, meaning there's a sin in a shogeg, and a person should be sorrowful. He should be upset with himself, even when he violates an iser b'shogeg. Misyachid adam im imam. Okay, we're going back to the Mishnah. We are learning now together the halachas of yichud. So the can's and the ken. So what can a person do? So a person can have yichud with his mother. I'm Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Asi misyachid adam a im achoso v'dar im imo v'im bito. So a person could have yichud with his sister, and a person could live with his mother and with his daughter. So certainly you see the contrast between sister versus mother and daughter. When it comes to sister, the language that's used regarding sister is misyachid adam imachoso. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi writes misyachin imachoso liprakim, meaning Rashi picks up on the nuance. When we're talking about a man and a sister, so occasionally, certainly inappropriate for a man to live with a sister, but in other words, there's no iser of yichud per se between a man and his sister, and on occasion he could be with a sister. However, when it comes to his mother and his daughter, so they could totally move into one another. And once again, it turns to Rashi, dar imimo o imbito, Rashi, de lo takif yitzre alayim, de ohana be So Rashi over here quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about the defeat of the Yetzirah. Now it wasn't a defeat, it's a bit of an exaggeration, but if you remember the Gemara over there outlined how after the Churban Bayis Rishon and the construction of Bayit Sheni, so Anshei Knesset Hagadola, so they took out the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Right, that was obliterated. So we learn all these Gemaras regarding Avodah Zarah, and we read Sefer Shoftim, and we keep seeing again and again how they keep reverting back to Avodah Zarah, and we're looking at them and we think that they're out of their minds. Right, it's not that compelling, it's not that enticing. And so Anshei Knesset Hagadolah in the beginning of Bayit Sheni, so they did away with the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Okay, but by the way, at a cost, meaning it's not you can't you can't lose the bad without losing some good. So there they lost the Avodah Zarah, but they also lost Nevuah. So it's there's a price to pay for it. And and the Gemara over there says that they tried to do away with the Yetzer Hara for Arias, meaning again a very strong and powerful Yetzer Hara. At least we could relate to that Yetzer Hara. We understand that Yetzer Hara. So they try to do away with it, but they realize that if they do away with the Yetzer Hara, so then nobody's going to multiply. No, there's not going to be any procreation. So they realized they couldn't undo the Yetzer Hara. However, the Gemara over there says, and this is what Rashi is quoting over here, what they did is they blinded the Yetzer Hara. Now, blinded the Yetzer Hara, meaning to the best of our understanding, or at least the best of my understanding, they somehow injured the Yetzer Hara for Arayos, so that a man does not have a Yetzer Hara for his mother or for his daughter. Now that brings us to our Gemara. Our Gemara says a man can live with his mother. A man can live with his daughter. Aren't we worried about a rayus? So not with a mother, not with a daughter. Meaning, to that degree, Anshe Knesset Segdola was able to mitigate the Yetzirah so that a person does not have the kind of Yetzirah for his mother, for his daughter. Back to the Gemara. The Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel. When it was said in front of Shmuel, so his response was that a person cannot be misyachid with any of the arayos, including an animal. So now an animal is one of the arayos, meaning Mishka Behema is mentioned in the Parshas of Achrimos and Kedoshim. So therefore the Isra of Yechud is going to extend to that as well. Tanan, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Misyachid Adam Imimavi Imbitov Yashinim Mehim Bekir of Basar Utiyufta de Shmuel. So the Gemara says, first of all, the statement that said in the name of Shmuel, it's very difficult. Meaning, even if before we get to the point of the animals, meaning the Shmuel says he can't be misyachid with anybody. And meanwhile, in our mission, we learn together that a person is allowed to be misyachid with his mother and with his daughter. And more than that, they can even sleep in the same bed together. So this goes against what Shmuel is saying. So the Gemara says, Tiyuf to the Shmuel. Okay. So the Gemara says, this Mishnah certainly seems to be difficult on Shmuel. Amal Chashmuel, Ula Tamech. So Shmuel says, okay, I'll say the following in my defense. Haditanya chosav v'chamosav v'shar kol arayos shebetorah in misyachid imahem ela be'edim. When it comes to a sister and a mother-in-law and all the arayos in the Torah, a person cannot seclude themselves with them. You need edim, meaning be'edim in shelo be'edim lo. The deek seems to be very clear. You can only be together with them if there are other people there. Definitely. So, correct. So the, I know all about that. So now what we have is a defense of Shmuel. So Ella Tanaihi. So the Gemara concedes. The Gemara says, fine. So the Mishnah is against Shmuel, but at least there are going to be brises that are going to be supportive of Shmuel's viewpoint. Ditanya. The Gemara quotes the brisa. I'm Rabbi Meir Yizaro B. Mibne B.T. Rabbi Meir says, I should be very careful about my own daughter. I'm Rabbi Tarfon Yizaro B. Mibne Kalasi. So, Rabbi Tarfon said, I should be very careful about my daughter-in-law. Ligleg Alav Oso HaTalmid. So a particular Talmud made fun, he ridiculed. I'm a Rabbi Abba, Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, lo hayu yamim muatim ad shenichshel oso Talmud bichamoso. So the Gemara says, now this particular student who ridiculed, what are they being so overly cautious about regarding yichud with a daughter, with a daughter-in-law? So, and this student who ridiculed, you knew this was going to happen. The student who ridiculed, so he end up being nichshol. He stumbled over the isra of arayos with his mother-in-law. Okay, afilu in behema. The Gemara over here points out that you should be careful even with animals. That was the opinion of the Braisa. Abaye mechlale mekula debra. And now the Gemara is going to talk about various institutions that were made amongst the Amoraim to make sure, to ensure that there would be no concern, not even with animals. Take a look at Rashi, mechlale mekula debra. Kishayolach besada begirsa liyichud, hayomunem behemos mekula sada. So one pshat that Rashi offers in the Gemara is that when he would go out to the field and he would have his bodidus, he would seclude himself in the field, he'd be learning, so he'd be making sure that the animals would be off at a distance. Rashi says another pshat in the Gemara, but the basic idea is that he would be careful. Rav Sheshes Ma'avalei Mitzra, Rav Sheshes would have some sort of border separating himself from the animals. Rav Chana Menardai, Ikla L'Rav Kahana L'Fum Nara, Chazir Yasa V'Kagaris, V'Kaimi Behema Kameh. The Gemara tells the story of Amoraim. Rav Kahana, Rav Chanan was visiting Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana was learning. Rav Kahana was learning right in front of animals. And Amalei Lo Sevel Amar Afilin Behema. And the question that was asked to Rav Kahana is, what about the Braisa? The Braisa says that the Isser of Yichud extends even to animals as well. Amalei Lava Daite. So Rav Kahana says, oh, I wasn't aware. Meaning, I was so engrossed in my learning, I wasn't even aware that there were animals. But you're right. Amarava Misyachid Adam Imshte Yavamos. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rava that a person is allowed to be Misyachid together with two sister-in-laws. Why? Why should that be? So if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi explains When he say two sister-in-law, meaning that they are the wives of his brothers. He's got, let's say he's got a simple scenario. He's got two brothers, they're both married, so he could be together with the two wives, his two sister-in-laws. Now, generally speaking, as we discussed in yesterday's Gemara, that's an Isser of Yichud. A man cannot seclude himself with two women. So why over here would there be a Heter? So once again, if you look back in Rashi, so Rashi explains. Nesheish ne'achim shisonos zu et zu kishtei tzaros. So they hate each other. There is a built-in animosity that exists with sisters. Why? Rashi goes on to explain. Shidoa goshem atipol liyibam lifnei bala v'teyasena la tzareham. Because being sister-in-laws is only two deaths removed from being actual co-wives. Meaning in the event that their husbands die, so then this guy is going to end up being their husband, and they're going to end up being tzaros to one another. They're going to be co-wives to one another. Co-wives do not like each other. It's kind of intuitive. We all knew that even before coming to today's shir. So what we're learning now is a bit of chiddush, is that potential co-wives also have a built-in animosity, and therefore the only reason why there is an issur of yichud with a man and two women is because the two women will basically, they'll look to please and they'll cover each other's indiscretions. Here, these women do not like each other. They are not going to cover up each other's indiscretions. Back to the Gemara. V'im shtei tzaros. A person is allowed to seclude himself with co-wives. Im isha v'chamosa. A woman and her mother-in-law. Again, these are different various relationships where there is a little bit of animosity that exists within these relationships. Im isha ubas bala. A woman and her stepdaughter. Imisha v'tinokis sheyodas tambia v'in mosrats malabia. A woman together with a girl who is A, old enough to have bia, but B, does not yet have the taiva for bia. So once again, there's kind of a built-in, there's a built-in cushion, a built-in precaution that one will not allow the other woman to have bia. Now, the Mishnah described where a man could be living with his daughter, a man could be living with his mother, they can even be sleeping in the same bed together, and to us this sounds strange, but and said the Mishnah, and that they can even be in the same bed together and they don't even have to be clothed. Okay, and then the Mishnah went on to say that once she arrives, the daughter arrives at a certain age, so then they could still be in the same bed together, but there should be clothing. So, vikama, so the Gemara's question is a very simple question. Let's quantify. How old are we talking about? Amravada bar Rav Aza, Amravasi, Tinokos, Bas Tesha Shanav Yom Echad. Tinok, Ben Shema Sre Shanav Yom Echad. So, 9 for a girl, 12 for a boy. Igida Ami Tinokos, Bas Shema Sre Shanav Yom Echad, Tinok, Ben Shalosh Sre Yom Echad. So the and then there's another opinion: 12 years old for a girl, 13 years old for a boy. And basically, the Gemara says now both of these opinions are basically trying to quantify the basic idea of physical maturation, physical development. When a woman has reached a point of physical development, as the pasuk here is describing, so the. Pasuk in Yecheskel, we said this pasuk over at the Seder. The it comes up in the drush at the end of the Magid section. Anyway, so the basically when a woman has reached physical development, so at that point in time there's the Yetzirah and there's a Taiva, and even though it's one's daughter, but still they should not be in bed together unclothed. Amarav from our papa, Amarav Chisa Loshenu Eloshenu Bushalamu Lefanav Arum. And even when we're giving these kinds of shirim, that's only talking about a situation where she is not embarrassed to stand in front of her father naked. But once she's embarrassed to stand in front of her father naked, also then it would be prohibited. My tam yezer abasha, because at that point in time, that is a clear indication that she has now developing not only physically but also spiritually. She has now a yetzahara. Her yetzahara is clothing her, and at that point in time, they cannot be in the bed together unclothed. Rav Acha bar Ada ikla lebe Rav Chista chasne. Rav Acha bar Ado, Rav Acha bar Abba went to the house of his son-in-law. Shakla lebat Bartei, he took his granddaughter, and Osve bekanfei, and he slept with his granddaughter. So slept meaning just, I mean it here super innocent, innocently. Correct. Amar Leilo Zavol Amar Demekadisha. So the exchange over here, it's a very unusual exchange. I'll read the Gemara, I'll translate the Gemara, but I'm admitting that it's an unusual exchange. This Gemara needs more understanding, and I apologize, we just simply don't have the time to give it its proper discussion. Anyway, so she's a married woman. So in other words, the grandfather took her into the bed, and his son-in-law says, she's married, what are you doing? So Amar Leh Avart Alach Adarav. So the grandfather said to his son-in-law, well, you shouldn't have done that. Meaning, remember, we learned this back together in the beginning of the second parak of Kedushin. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Ravi Temer Rav Elazar. A man cannot be mekadesh his daughter when she's a minor. Meaning, yes, the Torah empowers the father to do so, but it's not recommended. She should be able achitagdil v'tomer b'floni ani rotza. She has to make the choice herself. She should make the choice herself, and so therefore, what you did by accepting kedushin on our behalf was inappropriate. So you're telling me that she's mekudeshes, and I'm telling you that she's a minor, and you shouldn't have done that. Now, truth be told, is that the Gemara here is a little bit difficult to understand. What difference does it make whether his granddaughter is Mekudeshes or if she's Ana Mekudeshes? Meaning, she's still an Erva, even if there was no Kedushin. How did this change anything? How did this make this any different? I'm understanding that... She's an Eishes Ish. But she was an Erva even before she was an Eishes Ish. She's his granddaughter.
Additional Erva is an Eishes Ish.
Okay, good. Okay. So anyway, so Beploni Ani Rotze. Marnami Arvalei Ad Shmuel. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you violated another rule of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel Ein Misham Shem Beisha. Remember, we had this discussion recently when in the episode between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, where they had that headbutting exchange with each other, and one of the things that Rav Yehuda he criticized Rav Nachman is that Rav Nachman made use of young girls, and basically the grandfather is making usage of his granddaughter, basically warming his body up against hers, and he's being mishtamish bisha. You're not allowed to do that. So Amalei Ana beidach to Shmuel Svir Lei Damer Shmuel. So the Gemara says, in his defense and the grandfather's defense, I'm following another rule of Shmuel, which is Hakol L'Shem Shemayim. Hakol L'Shem Shemayim. So the take a look at the Rashi, the top Rashi on Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Ein daiti achareha lechibas ishus, ela lechibas korva. V'lasos koras ruach le'ima, kishani mechaviv izbita. In other words, what the grandfather says, and just we have to frame this in a context, the historical context that applied to them, and I don't know if we can perfectly relate to this, but basically what he says is, look, Shmuel says, hakol l'shem shamayim, that if your intent is the right intent, so then it would be okay. Meaning, I know that it is seemingly inappropriate for me to be sleeping together with my granddaughter. But, however, when I do that, so what I'm basically expressing to her mother, my daughter, is that I really like my granddaughter. And it makes my daughter feel good if I do that. And there is no sexual overtones to what I'm doing. He knows this, meaning this is not us saying so. He knows it. And so therefore, if it's L'Shem Shemayim, so therefore under those circumstances, it would be permitted. With this Gemara, I can quote the Gemara in the beginning of Ksuvos. It's certainly an unusual Gemara, but it certainly fits into this discussion the Gemara is having over here. That it's L'Shem Shemayim, so then it would be okay. But cautionary tale before I repeat the Gemara, right? L'Shem Shemayim, it would be okay, but it has to be L'Shem Shemayim. Meaning you can't say it's L'Shem Shemayim and then abuse your privileges claiming that's L'Shem Shemayim. The Gemara Ksuvos, remember the Amoraim were dancing at the Chasna. And how do you dance at the Chasna? What do you say to the Kala? And one of the Amoraim picked up the Kala, put her on her shoulders, and started dancing with her. So the students looked at the Rebbe, and the students said to the Rebbe, really, you're allowed to do that? So the Rebbe said, well, to me, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah, meaning I don't have a Yetzirah towards this. I know it's hard for us to understand that, but that's the Gemara over there in the beginning of Ksuvos. And so the Talmidim said to the Rebbe, "Can we do that?" So the Rebbe says, "No, you can't do that." In other words, right? And I understand. Do as I say, not as I do. But anyway, don't do as I do. Do as I say. Anyway, but the point is that it's another example of Hakol Hashem Shemayim. If there really is Hashem Shemayim, so then under those circumstances, it would be okay. For us, I don't know how much broad application there would be for that. We're now on the top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Today's daf Lo Yalamed Adam Ravak Sofrim. So a person should not be a single person and be teaching. V'lo Talamed Isha Sofrim, and you shouldn't be teaching children. A woman shouldn't be teaching as well. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Av Misha Ein Lo Isha Lo Yalamed Sofra. Now Rabbi Lazar goes one step further and says, even if you don't have a wife, you shouldn't be teaching. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Yira Ravak Behema. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a single person, should not be a shepherd. V'li Yishana Shnei Ravakim B'tal Zechad. And two men should not be sleeping in the same bed together. V'chachamim Matirim. And the Chachamim are Matir. So the Chachamim obviously are of the opinion. Rashi over here says it. Obviously, the opinions prior to that of the Chachamim are of the opinion that we have a Yetzahara towards Mishkav Behema. We have a Yetzahara towards Mishkav Zachor. And so therefore, a person should not put himself in a position where he may be Nichshol. He would stumble on these Yisurim. The Chachamim are of the opinion, Lo Nechshadu B'Mishkav Zachor V'Behema. That although there are Yisurim in the Torah, the Yetzahara that we have for them are not as strong. And so therefore, there is no standardized legislation prohibiting such activity.
It's also because in Shmuel, we just said, but...
Right. I mean, also, the Gemara that we saw earlier this morning had Amorayim, who created separation between them. But again, they were being machmer in themselves. But the Shita in our Mishnah is that's mutter. Okay, my time up. So the single man cannot, should not be a teacher. Now Elam and Mishum Yenuke. Now the Gemara says, now what are we worried about? We're worried about the children. Generally speaking, we're not concerned, like we saw at the end of the Mishnah, we're not concerned that people are having a taiva towards Mishkav Zachar and Mishkav Behema. Now, obviously, unfortunately, we know stories, they're anecdotal. We're talking over here about making standardized legislation. So in terms of making standardized legislation, there is not enough of a... There's not enough of a taiva that we need to make standardized legislation. So ala ravak mishum amasa diyanuka. So isha mishum ava asa diyanuka. So the Gemara says it's basically pick up and drop off, meaning with pick up and drop off. So there are going to be exchanges between the young teacher and the parents of the children. And that could present problems. So if the man is not a married man, if the man is a single man, the woman's a single woman, so that's going to create problems in that kind of environment. But the problem is the legislation is not as a result of the children. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Av Misha Ein Lo V'chulei, Yibay Lohu Misha Ein Lo Isha Klal, Lo Dilma B'Sheinu Shruya Etzlo. Now, in the Mishnah says that if he's not married, it will be a problem. So the Gemara says, now what exactly does that mean? It means that he's not married generally, or does it mean that his wife is not actually here? So Tashma, the Gemara quotes the Brisa of Mishi Yesh Lo, Ve'ein Ashur Yesh Lo, Lo Yalamed Sofrim. So the Gemara says that if a man is married, but his wife is not there, so Lo Yalamed Sofrim, he still shouldn't be teaching young children. So it sounds like from the Gemara that he not only needs to be married, but his wife needs to be somewhere nearby. Not clear from the Gemara exactly how nearby we're talking about. But in other words, but the man should be She should be somewhere around. But unclear exactly how close by she has to be. Unclear. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lo Yireh Tanya Amar Lo Rabbi Yehuda Lo Nechshu Do Yisrael Mishkav Zachar Ve'Ala Behema. The Gemara over here quotes the Braisa. The Braisa says that the Chachamim's response to Rabbi Yehuda is the Jewish people are not Nechshad. This is something that we do not need to make large-scale legislation. Okay. Okay. I mean, I know. I right. I'm aware of some of the issues that we grapple with. So, but that's the just saying over the Gemara. Okay. Kol she'asakav im hanashim lo yisachid im hanashim. So, anyone whose business requires him to be together with women should not seclude himself with women. V'lo yilamid adam es beno umnus hanashim. And in general, when planning a profession for your children, you should not teach a profession to a child where they're going to have to be around the opposite gender all the time. You take a look at Rashi over here. Kol she'asakav im hanashim, she'malachus umnaso na'asis l'nashim, v'hanashim tzrichus lo. We're talking about a profession where basically women need you. And even and the next rashi loyisachin im anashim afilim harbe anashim lefisha libo gasbahu. So the vikulan mechapos alav. If you're involved in a type of profession where you're going to be around women all the time, so even if there are a lot of women, it's just going to put you in a precarious situation. And Rashi says that what the women are going to end up doing, because you're around them all the time, is they're going to end up covering up for you. Okay. Back to the Gemara. Rabbi Meir Omer Lo'olam Yalamed Adam Es Beno Umnus Nikia Vikala. Rabbi Meir says that when a person teaches a profession to a son, he should teach him a profession that is clean and light. But the Gemara is going to give us examples of what professions we should be teaching our children. Vispala misha osher v'hanachasim shelo. And we should daven. And we should ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he help us achieve a profession that is going to be a clean and light profession. She'ein umna she'ein ba anios v'ashiros. Because truth be told, is that in every single profession, there are people who are wealthy and there are people who are poor, and it's not your wealth is not going to be a function of your profession. Truth be told, says the Gemara, is that everything is going to be based on a zechus. So the truth of the matter is that it's not your job that's going to make you, it's your zechus that's going to make you either wealthy or poor. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ra'itam Yamecha, Chayav Ov, Shiyesh Laham Umnus. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, look, you ever see an animal with a job? Right? Ever see your animal take his lunch pail to work and punch the clock in and punch the clock out? And you ever see that? So the answer, of course, is no. You've never seen that. Ve'ein misparnasin shelo b'tzara. And meanwhile, the animals make it through the day. They eat. They're enjoying life, and they don't have a job, and they didn't get a master's degree, and they didn't get a doctorate, and they're doing just fine. V'halo lo nivru ella l'shamsheni. And the animal, they're here in this world to serve me. And meanwhile, they don't have much problems getting a job in life, and it's something they don't have to worry about. Now, I'm here to serve my master. So imagine, animals are here to serve their master, which is us. We are the masters of the animal. And they don't have to get a job, and they don't need parnasa. And we're serving our master, and our master is the Borei Olam. Ein odishes parnasha lo b'tzar. So we really shouldn't have to work that hard for a parnasa. Ela shahar esi ma'asai v'kapachtis parnasasi. However, what can we blame it on? We can blame it on our masim, right? Meaning our deeds, our actions. We're not right. We're not l'shem shemayim as often as we think we are, and so therefore we have to struggle for a living. Even though theoretically, fundamentally, we shouldn't even have to worry so much about a parnasa. So. Abba Gurion ish tzadin omer mishum Abba Gurion lo yilamid adam es beno chamar, gamal, kedar, safan, ro'eh, v'chenvani. A person shouldn't teach his son to be various types of professions. We're going to be discussing in the Gemara, we're going to be discussing all of them in more detail. So let's hold off till the Gemara. Shum nasan umnas listim, because generally speaking, they're involved in thievery. Rav Yehuda amar mishmoa chamarim rubam rishayim. When it comes to donkey drivers, so the vast majority of them are rishayim. They're bad people. They end up stealing. Hagamalim Rubam Kshirim. When it comes to camel drivers are generally speaking good people. Rashi explains they are good people because generally speaking they go into the desert and it's very dangerous over there. They're constantly at fear for their lives. And generally speaking, they are broken people. And I say that, Rashi says that, as a good thing. Meaning they're humbled. They're humbled by their job, and so they're constantly asking Kadosh Baruch Hu for divine assistance. Hasafanim rubim chasidim. When it comes to sailors, contrary to the more popular belief of what sailors are, the Mishnah over here likes sailors. They're chasidim. Rashi over here, once again, Shaporshim lamakam asakana, the constantly in dangerous areas, v'tamid haim b'rada yosim and agamalim. And they're in a state of fear, and they're in more danger than that of the camel drivers. Tov shibaro from the Gehenim. Okay, present company excluded, of course, but the best of the doctors are headed towards Gehenim. The Rashi over here, Eino yare menacholi umachal amachal briim ve'eno mishaber libo lamakom. So, in the context of the way Rashi has been explaining the other occupations, you totally understand where Rashi's headed over here. Rashi says that they are not broken people. In fact, just the opposite. They could be arrogant. So pamim shaharig nefashos biyadularapos ani ve'nomerape. And Rashi says that sometimes they kill, and Rashi says that sometimes they won't administer medicine because of lack of funds. So there is a. There is a chance that they are in serious jeopardy. And then the Mishnah does not pull a single punch over here. The Mishnah, most people are not left unscathed in the Mishnah. And as far as the butcher is concerned, now a butcher is a great job, you know, is a great person, great profession, allowing people to eat kosher food. The Mishnah says, yeah, he's a partner with a malek. Right, Rashi over here. Rashi says, "Safiki treifos bals liado v'chasa mamona machilam." What happens with the butcher? Says Rashi, is that they shecht an animal. That's a lot of money. That's at stake over here. Look, there's a small little hole in the lung. You know what? It's really small. It's really small, right? It's not. You know what? It's fine. There's a lesion on top of it. It's kosher. It's fine. It's fine. Let's just move forward. It's fine. And as a result of that, so they are partners with a malik. I heard a grape shot. In other words, I understand the general issue is that they're going to end up serving treif to the customer for monetary gain. That we all understand. Partners with a malik. So I don't know who to credit this shot to, but I heard it's great. A malik has the same gematria suffix. Meaning you take the same letters of a malik and you arrive at the gematria of suffik. And basically, that's exactly what Rashi over here says. Rashi actually uses the word suffik. Meaning the idea is that they're not, obviously, if it's for sure trefa, they're not going to serve it. But if it's a suffik, if it's questionable, maybe yes, maybe no. So you know what? A malik is okay with suffik. We're okay with suffik. You know, we're totally fine. Right, Haman. I don't want to get off on this, but it's great. The Haman, when he wants to kill the Jews, so he's like, "What day should I do it? I don't know. I will do a lottery." Meaning that's the nature of a malik. A malik is, you know, they love suffik. They love leaving things to chance. So okay, so that's
the mission.
Yeah,
best.
Yeah.
So
who do we turn to?
Right.
The Mishnah. The Mishnah is just simply talking about the perils of occupation. The Mishnah.
I understand that, but then what does it mean? We shouldn't even meet.
No. I don't think that. I know. It's just.
Something about a regular show.
The Mishnah is just simply.
The best one.
I think the Mishnah is making an overarching point. I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. The Mishnah is making an overarching point in terms of there are perils involved in every occupation. And so even if you're the best of the butchers, there's a peril involved in that. There's just. Every occupation has its hazards. Rabbi Norai Omer Meniach Ani Kolm Nur Shebaolam Ve'ini Malamed Is Bini Ela Torah. Rabbi Norai says that I'm going to leave everything, every occupation, and the only thing I'm going to do is teach my child Torah. Sha'adam Ochel Misichra Baolam Hazeh Ve'akeren Kayemes Olam Haba. Because you're going to eat from the schar in this world, and the dividends are still going to be there for you in the Olam Haba. V'shar kol amnos eino kein. K'sha'adam ba'li dei choli, oli dei zekeno, oli dei surim, ve'eino yochol asok b'mlachta. However, when it comes to any other occupation, Rabbi Nurai says, think about it. He says, you're sick, you can't work. I know, we have disability, we have workers' comp, but you're sick and you can't work, you're not going to get paid. Oli dei zekeno, you get too old, you're not going to work. Oli dei surim, or if you're suffering, you're not going to work. And so ve'eino yochol asok b'mlachta, haru umeis b'rav. Aval ha'tara eino kein. But that's not true regarding Torah. Ela misham tov b'kol rav b'nu rav. It protects you. V'nosenes lo achareha achariz v'tikva. And it gives you hope v'ziknoso, even while you're old. B'nu rav ma'u omer v'kovei Hashem yachalif v'koach. When you're young, the pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you strength. V'ziknoso ma'u omer odinuvon b'seva v'cheinu omer b'avram avinu v'avram zakein ba b'yamim. V'Hashem beirach es Avraham b'kol. Kadosh Baruch Hu blesses Avraham. Metzina shas Avraham evinu es kol haTorah kula. Ad shelo nidna. Avraham Avinu observed the entire Torah before it was given. Shenamar ekev asher shama Avraham b'koli v'ishmar mishpatim mitzvosai v'chukosai v'sorosai. The issue that many of the Mefarshim deal with in the Mishnah is that Rav Nurai is Rabbi Meir, meaning they're one and the same person. So if you take a look at the beginning of the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir cautions that when we teach a child a profession, make sure that you teach a child a clean profession, a light profession. And meanwhile, at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Nurai says, just Torah. Just, you know, keep it to Torah. So many deal with the fact that Rabbi Nurai and Rabbi Meir are one and the same person.
Yeah, but his son was
Newer also.
Right, he could. I've heard that again. I'm sorry for not giving credit.
Also in his light, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Light, right. He's light. So I've heard that shot. That Rabbi Meir was giving advice for the general population, and then for his own son. And in fact, it's Meduah because he says Bini,
right?
He says my son.
Right.
Tana Rabbanan, we are in the very bottom of Pei Beis Amud Aleph, called with the Gemara quotes of Brisa, Kol Shasaka V'Manashim Surah Ra. Anyone who has a profession that he has to deal with women at the time, it is bad. Kegon, Hatsorfim V'Hasrikim V'Hanekoros V'Harochlim V'Hagardim V'Hasaparim V'Hakovsim V'Hagera V'Chavalan V'Haborsiki. So the Gemara the Brisa rattles off a list of professions where basically these are all professions, cleaners, jewelers, all the various professions that force a person to have to deal with women all the time. And that's not a good thing. Ein ma'amida mehem lo melech v'lo kohen gadol. And furthermore, none of them are going to be appointed neither for a king nor a kohen gadol. My taima lo mishum de psule, and it's not because their profession makes them disqualified. Ela mishum de zil nusayu. It just happens to be that these are professions which are they're lowly. They're demeaning professions, and as a result of that, they're just simply not in a position where they're ready to take on either being a king or being a kohen gadol. Tana Rabbanan, asar dvarim namru be. Tana Rabbanan, asar dvarim namru begara mahalech al sido. So the right. Rashi over here describes them as the blood letters. So they're called Gara because Megareya es Hadam. Right? They cause a loss of blood. So Mahalach al Sido, they walk by their sides. What does that mean? So the Rashi describes it as being arrogant. Verucho Gasan, they are arrogant. Vinitla Vyoshe Ve'eno Tzara. And they are sitting. And their eyes are miserly. Ve'eno Ra'a. Their eyes are bad, meaning Ein Hara. And Ochel Harbe Amotzi Kima. And they eat a lot and they give out very little. V'chashud Al Ha'arayus. And because their job is going to require them to deal with both genders, male and female, so therefore they are suspect of Arayus. V'al Hagezel V'al Shvichas Damin. And on theft and on murder. Like Rashi described back in the Mishnah.
It's a pun or what?
Huh?
It's a pun. It's a bloodletter.
He's a bloodletter, and sometimes he
blood. It's a pun.
Yeah. Correct. Sometimes he lets a little too much blood. Darish bar kapar la'olam yalamed es beno umnus nikia v'kal lamayhi. Back in the Mishnah, the Rabbi Meir says that a person should teach his son a profession that is clean and light. And Bar Kapara here expounds on this idea. Mahi, what are examples? Amar Rav Yehuda. Top now, pei beis amud beis. Machtei the Tam Yusa. Rashi describes it as a very skilled action. Rashi macha tlamios. So shatfiros asuyos tamid tlamim tlamim shura shuras ketlamim shal machresha.
Huh? Rashi
embroidery.
Embroidery.
Correct.
But that doesn't have to do with you, right?
Apparently not. Apparently not. I understand your question. Embroidering, right? It could be paintings. It could be right. Okay. Anyway, yep. Tanya Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Omer. Sorry. Ein lecha umnus ovros mina olam. So there's no profession that removes you from this world. In other words, again, every profession has hazards. Asher mishenro es harab umnus meula. Fortunate is someone who sees his parents involved in a good profession. However, unfortunate will be the person who sees his parents in a inferior occupation. Look, the world needs perfume. The world also needs tanning. And the tannery, I'm happy to report that I don't know the smell, but apparently it is a terrible smell. Now again, the world needs both, so somebody's got to do it. It's a job where somebody's got to get it done, but fortunate is the one who has bosom, and unfortunate is the one who has borsiki. And again, we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Zechuyos. Woe to the person, I'm sorry, the world needs males and needs females, needs both. Fortunate is the one who has male children, and unfortunate is the one who has nekevos. Now, if you're Sephardi, you understand the Gemara implicitly, like I don't need to sugarcoat the Gemara. But what if you're Ashkenazim, what if you're one of us, and you're like, you read this Gemara, and really, woe is to the one who has daughters? I tell you the truth, I like my daughters. They do a better job listening to me. So the well, I heard a pshat, and again, I'm on the theme of quoting pshatim without giving proper attribution, and it's a great pshat also. If you read the Gemara very carefully, the Gemara says Misha Bunav Zacharim ve'oilol Misha Bunav Nekevos, meaning having sons, having the masculine sons versus having ephemerate sons. So the Gemara says that's a possible pshat in the Gemara over here. Okay, again, that's not the pshuto shel Gemara, but it's a nice pshat. Rabbi Meir Omer lo lam yilamed adam livno umnos nikia v'kala v'yivakesh rachel l'misha oshav anachasim shalom. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Meir again, but this is a Tosefta as opposed to our Mishnah, but it's the same point. A person should take on a job which is both clean and light. Ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu for Rachmanus, she'ena niyas min ha'umnus, ve'ena shiras min ha'umnus. Because don't think that the money you're going to earn is going to be based on the job that you have. Ela lamisha osha shalom. Kadosh Baruch Hu decide. She'nemar liyah kesef v'liyah zav nyom Hashem tzvakos. A Kadosh Baruch Hu will be the determinant in deciding how much money you're going to make. So it's not going to be a function of the job. So as far as the job is concerned, so pick a job that is clean and light. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Imreitim miyamecha tanya, the Gemara quotes the Brisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, miyamaylo reiti tzvi kayetz va'ari saval v'shual chenvani. Again, an idea that which we already expressed this morning. I never saw a deer act as a tailor, or a lion act as a butler, and a fox I never saw as a merchant. Vehemis parnasim shelo b'tzar vehem lo nivru elo shamsheni. And somehow they have a parnasa and they're eating, and they're meant to serve me. Vani nivrei l'sham shes koni my ela shlo nivru ela l'sham sheni misparnesim shlo besar v'anish nivrei l'sham shes koni eno din shes parnes shlo besar. And really, I should have a parnasa, and I should have a parnasa without any pain whatsoever. Ela sharesi es masai v'kipachti es parnasasi. However, my ma'asim have resulted in the fact that I cannot live in this utopia existence, and I need a parnasa. What can I tell you? But it's as a result of our avonos that we have deviated.
But the difference with animals don't ask anybody for food.
But they don't need to.
But I'm saying, but a person,
right?
You know, he will have somebody.
But Hashem created man to toil the earth. Yeah. That was the purpose.
Right. Correct.
You know what? My name is not Hashem.
I know. I understand. But there is, in other words, there is an idea that. Right, and it's also the larger point that which the Gemara has made already a couple of times today is that don't think that parnasa and the work that you do are cause and effect.
No, I understand.
Right,
but he still
didn't do that. You should have done
it. Yeah, right. You're correct. Agreed. Rabbi Nurai Omer Maniach is kol haomnus v'chulei tanya. Rabbi Nurai Omer Maniach ani kol haomnus shabaolam ve'eni malamed is bini ela Torah. The only thing I'm going to do is teach my son Torah. Shekol omnus shabaolam in omdos lo ela b'yemei yaduso avav b'mezik nuso harehu muto b'ra'av. In the time of his old age, so if he's not working, that's it. He's not going to eat. Aval Torah eino keno mezlo la adam b'eis yaduso v'nasen slo achris v'sikva b'eit ziknuso. This is really verbatim what we saw back in the Mishnah, that Torah is there both when you're young, when you're old. Be'eit yaduso my omer. The Gemara quotes the same psukim that we already saw. Kov Hashem yachlifu koach yalu ever k'nesharim b'ziknuso my omer. And when he gets old, the Navi says, on yunivum b'seva, d'shenim v'ranim yiyu. Kadosh Baruch Hu protects you in your old age when it comes to Torah. Okay, Adkan, this is the end of the fourth parak of Kedushin. This is the end of Masechta Kedushin. This is the end of Seder Nashim. Tomorrow morning, in Yirtzeh Hashem, we start with Kama. The next Seder in Shas, we'll give a small, short introduction tomorrow. Anyway, we'll come back. I'm off for the next 4 days. I come back on Monday.